G'day and welcome to the Australians Teach English podcast, the podcast by language learners, with language learners, for language learners. My name is Glenn and I'm the owner and director of the Australians Teach English Institute. And my guest today, she's in quarantini. She's avoiding the Rona. She's had her jabs. She's washing her hands with lots of sani. And she's back by popular demand. My Seppo friend Gillian. Welcome back to the show, Gillian.
Thank you.
No worries. I couldn't refuse you coming back on the show because they were knocking down the doors. Seriously, they were saying I loved that show with you with the Cab Sav and Marg. So I had to get you back on the show. And it just happens to be that you are in quarantini right now.
I am here quarantining away, and I wish I had a bottle of Cabernet Sauvignon Cab Sav to help me get through it.
There's no Cab Sav? You can't even order one?
Oh, I can order one for sure. I went with white wine last night.
I noticed that from your social media posts. But anyway, whereabouts are you right now?
So I'm in the city of Perth in Western Australia. And I'm in the Pan Pacific Hotel, which is awesome, by the way. If anyone's coming to town and looking for a place to quarantine, this is the spot.
Yeah, I think you actually got here just ahead of the moment where the quarantine or the mandatory quarantine actually ends in Western Australia. By the time this show actually goes to air, fingers crossed, we won't have to do the quarantini when we are going to Western Australia. Actually, that's changed my plans because now I should theoretically be able to go straight to Perth.
Lucky dog.
Yeah, well, after all of this time and Western Australia being shut out to the rest of the world, it's been very, very difficult. But now,
yeah,
now
I thought I got lucky because not long before I got here, it was a 14-day quarantine and I only have to do 7 days now.
So I think after or at the end of February, it's 7 days of ISO.
Okay.
Isolation rather than a strict quarantine. So the rules are changing a little bit. So you might have noticed you've only been in Australia again for a few days, but you've already picked up a lot of the Rona slang.
So, yes, I've been asked if I've been jabbed. I've been asked where I'm doing my ISO/quarantine. And yes, I'm becoming fairly familiar with the lingo.
So a lot of people will be coming back into Australia or will be arriving in Australia soon. So this is probably actually some good slang to pick up and to learn. So you are in quarantine now, but what are the Australians actually calling this at the moment? Quarantini.
Well, quarantini to me is like a beverage that you have during quarantine. But it's entirely possible that Australians are calling it quarantini because they're all just stuck and getting their drink on.
what are they calling the coronavirus? Instead of saying the coronavirus, what do they call it?
Oh, it's absolutely the Rona.
Rona. Well, the other one that I've heard is the spicy cough. That's the other one.
Oh my God. recently in the States, prior to coming over, they were just swapping halves of the word and they would call it the vid.
Vid?
Yep. So I'm sure that'll make that's a little bit too close. If it hasn't already.
That's a little bit too close to VD, venereal disease. I think people might get a bit confused with that one. And what do you wash your hands with?
Well, I sani them, obviously.
Sani. What is sani?
Sani is just the abbreviated version because as we know, Australians love to shorten things. So it's just sanitizer, sani.
So hand sanitizer becomes sani. All right.
Absolutely.
And everyone is asking you if you've had the jab. What is the jab?
The jab is your vaccine, of course. So I know that all across the world, there's a million zillion different ones that you can get. And my jab of choice was Johnson & Johnson, offered to me in the US. It was a one-shot deal, which was a selling point for me. And I have been boosted as well.
There you go.
So I have my booster shot and my first and only jab.
So one of the complicating factors for me is I have the Sputnik vaccine. a lot of the Australians here in South America do have the Sputnik vaccine, and that has been complicated because it's only recently that they've accepted it in Australia. For a while, like if we tried to get into Australia, we would be at the back of the list with the unvaccinated people, the unjabbed.
No way.
Yeah, but now that's changed. Now that's changed as well. So they are allowing people with the Sputnik vaccine in. Okay.
Is that one out of Russia?
It is.
It's actually, my God, really?
Yes. So I've got my vodka right here. I'm learning Russian. I'm about to invade Ukraine. Or maybe I already have invaded Ukraine. I don't know.
Oh yeah, right. I haven't turned on the telly this morning yet to see what's going on in the world, I'm afraid.
Don't. That's probably everyone's advice. So these are the mandatory coronavirus slang that you need to know when you are entering Australia. But that's kind of boring stuff. You are in Perth, and probably Perth.
Quick aside, I don't find quarantinis boring at all. I think they are very entertaining beverages of choice.
You're quarantini.
Your homemade beverage, since you can't go out to the bar. But anyway, sorry, go on. I am in Perth.
Well, actually, I was speaking to someone here. I was speaking to one of the wine sellers here in Buenos Aires. And they were saying that, like, I asked them, like, what has business been for you like during the quarantine period with everyone in ISO? And they said, oh, business was booming. Like, our sales went up about 30 or 40% up. And I thought, oh, that's perhaps not a good thing if everyone is in ISO drinking a lot more.
It's outrageous. I don't want to go too far off topic for you, but when I'm in the States, in addition to what I do with wine, I just work at a liquor store as a part-time gig for a couple
at the bottle at the bottle in there the bottle
yes at the bottle o the bottle shop
thank you
and I've never seen shopping carts, trolleys so full of alcohol ever in my life. I mean, cart after cart or trolley after trolley, you know, purchases of $600, $800. It's been outrageous.
And what else do they buy at the Bottle-O in the United States? Do they buy guns? Do they buy ammo at the same time? Do they buy bullets? Because that's kind of like my stereo. Like, that's, I'm not sure if it's correct, but I think my image of going shopping in the United States is it's like going and buying your dinner and like a pistol at the same time. Like,
I am very unaware of that aspect of living in America. I'm very far removed from it. But I understand that you can walk into a Walmart and get a gun. I've never tried it myself.
It's like going into a Bunnings. I'm going to the Bunnings. Yeah. I'm going to the Bunnings sausage sizzle, and I'm going to buy a gun while I'm there. It's just bizarre. I don't know. It's bizarre to everyone else in the rest of the world, but not the Seppos. It's kind of weird.
Right.
Kind of weird.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is.
Anyway, you're in Perth, and Perth is famous for a couple of things that I would love to make more famous. Like, it is the wildflower capital of the world. I've spoken about this before. But there is something that Australia is, if there is one thing outside of Australia that Perth is known for, it is what?
I would have to say it would be Rottnest Island and their adorable little smiling quokkas.
Quokkas. And what are quokkas famous for?
So everywhere on social media that I've seen, they are really great at selfies. They have
take the selfies?
No. If you are making your way over to Rottnest Island, they really don't have any fear of humans, and somehow you can get down on their level and take a selfie with them, and it almost looks like they're smiling. It's the cutest thing in the world.
Yeah. So it's not them taking the selfie. It's you taking the selfie with them.
Yes.
Thank you for clarifying that. Yes. And they're known as the happiest animal in the world.
Because, I was just going to say that.
Yeah. There you go. They are known as the happiest animal in the world because they have this tendency to have this smile as the natural structure of their face. And anyway, Rottnest Island is really beautiful, but its history is kind of anything but. Do you know why it's actually called Rottnest Island?
I do not. Please tell.
So the Dutch were coming, and different European nations were coming to Australia and looking at different places on the Western Australian coast. And they thought, oh, there's nothing here. So we're just going to go to Indonesia where there's spices, and we just have to map all the places that you have to avoid. And anyway, the Dutch saw this place, Rottnest Island, and they saw these quokkas. And do you know what they thought these quokkas were?
I don't know if you guys even have them over here, but I think they look a little bit like a groundhog.
But coming from Europe, what did they think they were?
Oh, gosh, I couldn't guess.
They thought they were giant rats.
Oh, my gosh.
So in Dutch, they called it Rottnest Island.
Oh, my gosh, no way.
Yeah.
They're so stinking cute. There's no way you could mistake them for a rat.
I know.
For shame on the Dutch. My goodness.
Yeah, well, the Dutch got their comeuppance on the Abrolhos Islands when the Batavia shipwreck, so that kind of serves them right.
Yeah, right.
but anyway,
that's a great history.
That's great history. Everyone, I'm teaching my students at the moment about the Batavia. So that's a little cheery, fun little history of Australia where there was a shipwreck on this island off Western Australia, and all the crew started killing themselves and killing each other.
Oh my God! Happy little story.
Yeah. And you can actually, and this is the weird thing. You can go, there's a great museum in Fremantle, the Maritime Museum in Fremantle. This is actually one thing I do recommend people go. And there are literally the skeletons of these people that died there. And I was speaking to my best friend about this the other day. Like we go to this place when we are 8 or 9 years old in schools. And we get taught this story that there was no water on these islands and these people started killing each other. And so and they take us to this museum when we're 8 or 9 years old, and they show us skeletons with their skulls that have been caved in, hit with clubs. And I was just thinking, isn't that kind of weird to show eight-year-olds of these busted skeletons that have died?
That's a little dark.
Clearly yeah. Horrible deaths. Really weird.
They just want to make sure that you know the history.
Yeah, it's kind of like, yeah, well, you were born into Western Australia. Harden up.
Yay, there
harden
you go,
up, sunshine. Right? Really weird.
As a quick aside, I can't believe I heard you call it Fremantle. Everyone calls it Frio, don't they?
Frio, there you go. especially coming into this time of the year, we have the Frio Dockers playing. So anyway, there's a trip that everyone has to do apart from Rottnest is to Frio and the museum. But anyway, so that's Rottnest and Rattnest. But there is another this is another diversion. But anyway, you were speaking before the show about, oh, you don't know what you're going to do because after your quarantine, after your ISO, you're not sure if you can actually rent a car. There is a shortage of car rentals, shortage of cars in Western Australia at the moment.
Yeah, so I actually stay so long that I buy a backpacker car and have it for the 3 months that I'm here and then resell it when I leave. So it's really not a massive financial burden. The problem is finding one right now. There is a shortage unlike anything anyone's ever seen. And I experienced this in the United States as well. Unfortunately, I was in a car accident and needed to rent a car. And I mean, I live in a major city. I live in Philadelphia, and it was very difficult to track down a vehicle to drive temporarily.
Yeah.
So I'm sure the same thing is going on over here.
But anyway, on Rottnest, what is special about Rottnest when we're talking about cars?
There's not a single car there.
Not a single car on Rottnest Island. And so how do people travel around Rottnest Island?
You'll have to tell me. I've never been.
On push bike.
Oh, there you go.
I think that might be the Dutch influence coming back after all. It's the only positive thing that they left on Rottnest Island was the cycling culture, perhaps.
Do people live?
Only very, very few people are allowed to live on Rottnest Island.
Oh, okay.
But it also has a little bit of a dark history as well, because it was used as a prison for Indigenous Australians there is actually graveyards of Indigenous people there, which is very, very controversial because they were obviously buried away from their land.
Oh, right.
And also, a long time ago, and the Indigenous people in Australia, they actually lived through the different ice ages. So there was actually stories of a long time ago, thousands of years ago, Indigenous Australians actually living on that island, and then they came back to the mainland when the seas rose. When the land bridge left. So in the different stories, they are lost spirits over in Rottnest Island. So there's a lot of different mythical stories about this. So anyone going to Rottnest Island, I recommend also learning about the Indigenous culture and maybe even doing a tour with one of the Indigenous guides there. Get a fuller appreciation of some of these special places.
Sounds like a really nice idea. Right outside of my window, there's actually an Aboriginal flag hanging, which I thought was really lovely.
Yeah. And actually, I think there is a little dreaming pathway. If you walk down to the foreshore where you are, you can actually see the Swan River, the Yerbal Derrigan, I think it's called, if my memory serves me correctly, is the Aboriginal name for the Swan River. And it is... there's a little walk now near the river that you can do.
I can't. I'm in quarantine.
You can see the Swan River. Actually, do you know why it is called the Swan River?
You know, I'd have to guess there's a swan involved, but I really honestly do not know.
Did you know there was this saying? Until a few hundred years ago, that all swans are white.
I'm familiar with the idea that swans are white, but I didn't know to be a worldwide understanding.
It was a worldwide truth until the Europeans came where?
Australia?
And in particular, which river?
It's got to be the Swan River.
The Swan River. And what color were the swans? What color are the swans in the Swan River? They're not white.
I can't see it. They're not white.
They're black.
Oh, no way. I'm not very good at meters, but I'm several hundred meters from the river. So I can't see any swans, but that's cool. So they're black. I'm going to have to look into this when I get done.
You can also see dolphins in the Swan River.
Get out. Oh my gosh. I love Perth.
Yeah. I used to live in a place from my balcony on the other side of the river where you are. I used to be able to see the dolphins playing in the river from my balcony.
Aww.
Yeah. So anyway, this is all an interesting sort of part of Australian history. And now we even have an expression called the Black Swan Event or a Black Swan Event, which is
Isn't there a brewery? A swan brewery?
The Swan Brewery.
Yeah. Okay. So sorry. Everything I talk about always relates back to alcohol.
Which is why you're always coming back to Australia, I assume.
There you go. You've got so many options for me.
You're an absolute piss tank, we might say. Have you been called that before?
I haven't, but I'm going I have to borrow it and call someone else it.
A piss tank.
A piss tank. No, I've been called many, many things in my life, but never a piss tank.
So this makes me think of another difference between Australian English and American English, for example. Pissed in American English is what?
You're quite angry. You're very upset about something.
But in Australian English or British English?
You are schmammered.
You're drunk. You're maggoted, maybe. Munted.
Uh-huh.
All these other words that we might use. Yes. And of course, in the United States and in Australia at the moment also, there are people protesting against all the jabs.
Oh, yeah, the jab-free folk.
ICE against the ISO. Mm-hmm. And we have some cute little names for these people in Australia as well. I'm not sure if you picked up on these slang.
I think I might know this one. Are they the COVIDiots?
Could be COVIDiots.
Is there another term?
Yes, they're also called known as foilers or cookers.
Oh, what's that about?
So people that are involved in conspiracy theories.
Where this is going.
what do people involved in conspiracy theories, the stereotype, what do they have on their head?
They wear those ridiculous foil hats.
Ridiculous foil hats. So then, of course, instead of saying, oh, those people that wear the tin foil hats, what do Australians call them?
A foiler. That's so simple.
Foiler. It's brilliant.
It is 100% effective and brilliant.
It conveys the whole concept in just two syllables.
There you go. Then cab sav, foilers. You guys are just excellent at making conversation as concise as possible.
We're lazy.
That's another way to put it.
There's a difference. And the other one is cookers. This one is probably a little less common, but they are using it.
Is that related to the foil as well?
It is.
Okay.
But if we were, for example, to say someone is cooked.
I don't want to say brain dead. I don't know if that's the right term, but
kind of
some version of that.
Not using your brain well. And the other one would be like, where this comes from is acting like someone that is on methamphetamines or crazy.
Yeah, there you go.
So someone that cooks methamphetamine would be a cooker. So therefore, someone that is absolutely crazy, not using their brain, is a foiler, could also be called a cooker. just like, what was that? What was that famous TV show?
Oh, Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
So full of cookers, that show.
Oh, it's full of them. Chock-a-block.
There you go. There's another Australianism, chock-a-block.
Yes. Trying to refamiliarize myself. So this is actually very helpful that I'm doing it as I arrived in quarantine. I can go back to Margaret River and I'll sound like I've been here the whole time.
Go back to Margs, go down south to Margs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So my mum is eagerly awaiting. My mum is eagerly awaiting your arrival in Bunno.
So that we can go to Franklin?
You could be Franklin, but I remembered the name of the other place that I couldn't remember in our previous episode. The Ferguson Valley is what it is called. Yes.
I look forward to it. Do they call it the Fergo?
No, I think they probably might be a little bit too pretentious for that.
That's fair enough. I'll allow it.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't heard of a nickname for that one. But Margs is probably you're probably the most common one from down south. We have Bunno and we have Busso. So we have Bunbury and we have Busselton and then we have Margs. And we also have Cowtown, Kawarama.
Yes. Yes, yes.
That's the other one.
That was my home for a couple of seasons, Kawarama.
So whereabouts in Margs are you actually going now?
I'm actually going to, for the first time ever, be in the town of Margaret River. I've never lived there. I've always lived in the region. So I lived in Cowaramup. I lived in Dunsborough. But this time I'm in Margaret River proper.
Why is that?
Why am I living there? Because I am spoiling myself and living with people that I know and just as close to work as possible, because this is my last time probably working in Australia due to the visa restrictions. So I'm just giving myself every opportunity to enjoy myself as I can.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Yeah. So whereabouts is the place that you work? Is it actually in Margaret River Central, or is there a vineyard outside of the Margaret River town?
I think it's technically in Margaret River. It's called Xanadu, if you're familiar.
So that one, I think, is between Preverley and Margaret River Township. So when we think of, I think that's where it is.
So it sounds about right.
So when we think of the Margaret River Beach, what people are actually thinking of is Preverley, which is the beach. And then
that's your surf town, isn't it?
Yeah. And then there is a main road that basically goes from there to the Margaret River town. Mm-hmm. And along that road, I think, are probably the oldest of the vineyards in that area, I think.
Seems plausible.
But you would be the expert on that.
I can't. Of course, I can't remember the name of it at the moment, but I think the oldest one is on Cave Road, like the oldest.
Cave Road. That's neither. Is that the one?
Yeah. I'm so mad at myself. I can't remember the name of this winery. It's not Cullen. It came in and left my brain so fast.
Too many quarantinis.
Oh, yes, too many. Doesn't matter. I'll think of it before we disperse. But
all right. All right.
Caves Road is a major roadway that goes from, gosh, I guess it goes.
It goes from Preverley, doesn't
Margs,
it?
To Margs and Preverley, yeah, all the way up to Yallingup.
That's the coastal road. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's loads of wineries on there. But do you know the road name of the one that you're talking about?
No, I can't remember it off the top of my
head. Okay. I'll sort it out when I get there.
It's been
that time.
It's been nearly 5 years since I've been in Australia. So it's about.
Oh my gosh, I didn't realize it was that long.
Yeah, it's about time. I'm surprised my memory is actually still up to the task. I'm quite surprised, actually. I'm quite surprised.
Oh, you're all over it.
Yeah.
No, nailing it. Are there any places in Perth to go see the wildflowers that you were talking about?
Kings Park.
Kings Park, okay.
You've never been to Kings Park?
I've never been to Perth. I mean, I fly in, but then I get on one of the buses and go straight south for Margs because, you know, I've got work to do. But I don't know. This is my last chance, probably. So I want to make the most of it. So maybe I'll hang out in Perth for a little bit and go explore.
That is an absolute dog act to do that. But
yeah.
But the other easy thing to do in Perth is to go to Kings Park. And you might actually be lucky in February, it still should be pretty good, actually. Well, 12 months of the year, it's good. Mm. It's just a matter of if it's good, very good, or outstanding.
Right.
You can
I'll take whatever.
You can go to Kings Park any time of the year and you will see some kind of flowers. Western Australia, I mean, that's why it is the wildflower capital of the world, because you can go into the bush, you can do a bush walk in some place in Western Australia or in the southwest of Western Australia, and there will always be a flower to see in the bush.
As I get out of quarantine, I'm going to go sniff every flower and appreciate the great outdoors as much as possible.
Yeah, you might be a while there in Kings Park. I think they had something like 10,000, no, maybe 8,000 species of flowering plants in Kings Park. It was some incredible
number. That sounds so nice. Yeah,
incredible place.
Oh, I can't wait. Very exciting.
So what is the Rona situation like in Australia right now?
It seems very well managed. They're very careful. They have an app that you have to put on your phone so that if you come in close contact with someone, basically you check in at various locations. And then if you've been in close contact, they have the record of you being somewhere, and they can let you know that you were in close contact and encourage you to go get tested and potentially isolate until you can get tested so that no one gets sick. So it seems like everything's managed really well. And that's been a bit of a relief for me, having come from the US, because things are a little less.
Because there's lots of foilers and there's lots of cookers there. Is that what you're saying?
Kind of what I'm saying.
The unjabbed.
So, yeah, I have plenty of unjabbed.
Don't say unjabbed. So, yes. Don't say unjabbed, because that will confuse the listeners. Is unjabbed?
Oh, I apologize. that's my own silly, I guess, slang.
So, is there anything else that you think you should tell our listeners out there?
I would definitely recommend, if you don't have to travel, don't, because quarantine will make you crazy. I'm only on day 2.5, and I'm currently pacing my room back and forth to try to get my steps in so that
which is why the internet might be breaking up a little bit at the moment.
Oh, is it? I'm so sorry. I apologize. Whatever it takes to keep my sanity together. But if anyone is coming to Australia, I would say you can know that confidently things are being managed well, and safety is of utmost importance. It is an extreme hassle to make it happen, but it's well worth it.
Good. And how long did it take you to actually get from Philadelphia to Perth?
It was about 2 days. I left Philadelphia at 6 p.m. on a Tuesday, and I arrived in Perth at 8 p.m. on a Thursday. I had to go from Philadelphia all the way to the other side of the U.S. to L.A., and then I flew from L.A. to Sydney to Adelaide, and Adelaide to Perth. My original flight got canceled. That was going the other direction, from Philadelphia to Doha in the Middle East, and then Doha to Melbourne, and then Melbourne to Perth. I mean, either way I was going, I was going to have several layovers.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's how it is right now.
Yeah, I'm looking at sort of 40 hours minimum to get back.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, gone are the days of 20-hour flights to the other side.
Is kind of relevant to quarantine discussion. So my original flight got canceled because the Western Australian government was going to open its borders on the 5th of February and then change their mind on like the 3rd or 4th of February. So
And then have subsequently changed it back, or kind of half changed it back.
Yeah. But, you know, all those people had probably planned on finally coming to WA to see their family, you know, maybe visit grandma, or if you have a holiday home, you can come finally go to your holiday home. And when they changed the restrictions such that you had to quarantine again, everyone canceled their flights. My flight,
I had a suspicion that that was going to happen. Otherwise, I probably would have booked flights a bit earlier. Yeah. But I was like, no, I'll just wait, because I'm sure they're going to do something stupid.
Well, you know, as soon as they decided they didn't want to open the borders, then it was 14 days. And then maybe a week later, they changed it back to 7, which I greatly appreciated.
Yeah, so and then it changes again in a little bit of time as well.
To add to my suggestion to everyone that if you can come, it's well worth your while. I assure you, once you get here, it's great. But like, really, you have to very much want to be here, to make it worth your while. Don't just come on holiday for a week or two.
It's not worth it.
You have to come. No, you have to come for a long period of time. Mm.
Yeah, make sure you get your jabs and get your jabs organized. Yeah, make sure you have plenty of Sani with you, and and stay away from the Rona. Otherwise, you might have to go into ISO. So these are some handy terms. And stay away from the foilers and the cookers,
especially that part.
Yeah. So anyway, from us here, well, I should mention that you can get a transcript of this episode on our website. Go to the members area of my website, AustralianTeachEnglish.com, where you can actually get a transcript of this episode, and you can listen and read at exactly the same time. You also get a learning guide there, and that will prompt you to answer some questions, especially if you're taking an English exam, and you will be prompted to listen to some of the vocabulary to pick out some of the Australian slang words in this episode. From us here at the Australians Teach English podcast, the podcast by language learners, with language learners, for language learners, it's us saying hooroo. Goodbye.
For more information about the Australians Teach English Institute, go to AustralianSteachEnglish.com or follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at Australians Teach English.